The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Yeah, yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Geekenders podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Dodger, what up? Let's go.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow and see what the Geekenders are all about.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you're all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time. On gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, scream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Geekenders.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Geekenders.
Welcome.
Match your energy.
Yeah, I liked it. We got to bump up the energy since our guest is a ghost. We have a ghost with us today.
He was abducted. Maybe this is the time he finally got what he wanted.
This is it. You know what?
Yeah.
And I'm happy for him.
I say we don't say who the guest was, just so people wonder which person we know potentially was abducted by aliens.
Yes.
It could be anyone.
It could be anybody.
Could be anyone.
A good hint, though, is it's a person who would be really jazzed about it. So.
Felicia Day. Right,
pick from
right.
That, pick from the heat. I thought we were going to say.
By the way, hilariously, this is the other night. I don't know. It was like maybe like 10 p.m. or something. This is the problem. Don't have people that could potentially pop up in a TV show be people you talk to on the regular, because then you'll just randomly message them like, I saw you on a thing. This happened the other night where I just randomly sent this to a certain someone. Words. Am I going to die?
Mm-hmm. No names.
The Dr. House episode where Felicia Day was on it, where she has the eye of a man who died of a mysterious illness, and everyone else who got body parts from the guy who died, they all instantly die. And so, that's the thing that happened. And it's a crazy episode, but the entire time I was just sending her images of herself, which I'm sure is annoying. But I was just like, yo, I forgot. Look at this. Look at you. You're doing a thing.
Buddy, you see you? I'm so proud of you.
I was such like a proud mom. I was like, oh, you told Dr. House he looks sad. And he is sad because his friend Wilson left him. Right? Like,
I've been thinking about doing a House rewatch. It's been a very long time.
I'm at season 4 or 5, whichever one, where Wilson leaves House because House did spoilers. And so
House is toxic.
And House hired a private detective to prove how toxic he is. He hires a private detective to stalk Wilson to find out what's going on with Wilson. So that's where I was at.
Yeah.
And in that the episode before that is where she shows up, and I was laughing very hard. I was like, I forgot you were in this shit. Yeah.
I like that though. And that's fun.
Yeah.
When you're watching a show and you're like, wait, I know that person.
Yeah, her response to me was, and I quote, it wasn't lupus, 9 out of 10. And then I just responded with this sweet little image. It's never lupus, right? And that's, yeah. So I just want to say for the record. Right?
It was lupus one time,
It was one time. And in fact, they say, they make the joke, it was lupus, which is, you know, that's, I unabashedly love House, except I realized that if you watch it in reruns, the theme song isn't the same. It is not the like, it's not the same theme song that existed before. It is some other bootleg, like, it sucks. It sucks. I maybe they lost the license and they didn't want to pay it. I don't know. But then I looked it up.
Are you sure it isn't like a seasonal thing?
Nope. And then I looked it up. There's three different intro versions depending on where you watched it.
Oh.
But none of them are the one that's in reruns.
What is a show intro song that you still think about all the time?
Oh, Married with Children. It's the easiest one. Love and marriage. Love and marriage. Goes together like a horse and carriage.
Yeah.
And the fact that that isn't in reruns either sucks. That sucks. Because now there's some other song. Chat's doing some good ones like X-Men. I mean, obviously, Friends. Mm-hmm. Pokemon.
I have two. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Smallville and Charmed. Oof.
Is Smallville?
I am human. Yes. Smallville is Somebody Save Me.
Great.
That
yep.
song.
Yep.
And Charmed mm-hmm. is I am the sun. I am the air. I am human and I need to be loved. It's great.
So, you know, so the thing here is the songs you remember are actual songs.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I guess for Married with Children, that's an actual song. But I'm trying to think of ones that weren't like shows that had songs that just made for the show. And again, chat once again coming through. Gummy bears bouncing here and there and everywhere. Yes, oh, so that's good. The shit.
That one's
gummy
great.
Gummy bears rule.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The there show was, I never really liked.
There was some deep lore with the gummy bears show. They went too hard on the gummy bears show.
The gummy bears, like there's this weird thing where gummy bears, Fraggle Rock, I'm trying to think of what some of the other shows were, where the theme song was about 100 times better than the show deserved.
Sure.
Like, you know, Tailspin was a fine God. Show, but that intro. Oh, yeah. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Darkwing Duck,
it's a fine show.
DuckTales is the best, though. Yeah. I think we can all agree.
Life is DuckTales like is a hurricane, intro. Even now. Evergreen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Permanently the best theme song ever. And if you want to make your life so much better, go look up. I'm just going to quickly Google this right now because it's that important to this entire show.
Okay.
DuckTales theme, ska. Go look up. Ooh. The Suburban Legends versions of DuckTales. Enjoy your entire life. You'll just be a happier person. Your day will be better. You're welcome.
Nice.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Because you were mentioning House, and House is, you know, based off of Sherlock Holmes.
Uh-huh.
Can I make a podcast recommendation to everybody right now?
Oh boy.
Very quickly.
Go on.
Very quickly.
It's called Geekenders. You're watching it right
it's
now.
It's called Geekenders.
Be sure to thumbs up if you're on YouTube and give it a like. Share with your friends. We'd love to spread the word.
It's true.
We don't pimp this out enough. We just accept you'll watch when you want to watch. And honestly, no, that's not how this stuff works. Tell your mama, tell your papa, tell your uncle, tell your baby sister, tell your nephew too. Tell everyone you love.
Is this
and those
accessible
important
to
you.
Your baby sister? It depends.
This is super accessible because your baby sister is like ironic into the 90s.
Oh,
and so, you know, she'll be like, I remember DuckTales, right? And then
because I'm super into like, vintage. Yeah.
Right. And then that's how you get her in. She's like, there's nothing I like seeing more than people 20 years older than me tell me about stuff in their day. And that's how we're going to get her.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
Aside from Geekenders, there is another podcast I would love to shout out.
Right, right.
If you ingest a lot of Sherlock Holmes media like I do, there's a podcast that I started listening to that I love called Sherlock & Co. And the pitch is the Sherlock short stories are Dr. John Watson writing the adventures of Sherlock Holmes, right? So
as that we all know.
Right. So what if it's modern day and it's John Watson decides to make a podcast and the podcast winds up being a true crime podcast where he just follows Sherlock around. And that's kind of the elevator pitch. But I will say, I think the way that they characterize Sherlock and John is great. John's actually super useful and really awkward. He's like basically our age. And he's just like an awkward kind of like goob. Sherlock is arrogant, but is also like really trying to be a good friend, which is really nice because a lot of times the Sherlock characterization is not like a super.
He's an asshole. Yeah.
He's a dickhead without like the redeeming element on the other side, right? This Sherlock is canonically autistic. They like talk about it a lot. And he and Watson like work together really well. The Mrs. Hudson character is fantastic, and she's also extremely useful and like part of the whole thing. And it's great. It's so well done. I love it. So highly recommend.
Question.
Yes.
Point of order. Is this done as in John is doing the podcast explaining it?
Or it's like found footage style, kind of.
Okay, so it is so you know, like characters can come on and be like, oh, get out of here, Sherlock. You're ruining my estate.
I'm sorry. Say it again. What?
You know, famous Sherlock. You know.
Right.
By the way, I just, speaking of Sherlock.
Yes.
Hi, everyone.
What's up?
Jesse Cox here. Longtime friend and person who will rat Dodger out at any moment.
Yeah, what's up?
Possible. Years ago, probably 12 years ago at this point. Oof, it's been a long time. Dodger and I went to the UK. And when we were there, I'm not saying this was the trip also where she met her husband, which you're welcome again.
It was. Yeah.
You're welcome. So, if I can take credit for something I didn't do, I will always take credit for it. So, while we were there, we decided to stop by Sherlock Holmes' house.
We did.
And I just want to say for the record, the official canonical house is a Beatles store. So that's cool. But next door to it is his house. Now, let me just preface all this, everyone. Sherlock Holmes was never a real person, is not a real person, and will never be a real person. Yet we went to his home, and at the time, Dodger walked around that home like just in it, just very excited and happy and like, oh, this was Sherlock's chair. And this, I'm like, that's Sherlock's nothing. Sherlock isn't real.
But you know what, Jesse, when it was all said and done, we all put on costumes and posed outside.
We did. We took a photo. We did take a photo. That's true.
So
yeah, we took a photo outside. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true.
So I appreciate you being a supportive friend, both you and Aaron, all three of us.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I would always go watch you enjoy something knowing that it is total bullshit.
Of course. That's
my
friendship.
Pure joy. Yeah.
Yeah. You just want to see a friend have a good time, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm here for it. I'm sure if you go to like my Facebook that I don't use, haven't used in almost a decade. If you go there, I promise you there's a photo of the three of us standing out in front of Sherlock's home, dressed up. And there's like a Bobby, and he's like, I'm taking a picture with you. Yeah.
Very cute.
It's great. Good times. Yeah.
Um, the one of the things about that visit that I remember very vividly being really excited about, and I still get excited about it when I get off at that tube station. But the closest tube station for Baker Street, the tiles have a Sherlock Holmes silhouette on them.
Yeah,
it's very cute. Mm-hmm. I was like,
it is very cute.
Yeah, loved that.
Yeah, they really embraced that. And I get it. It's a beloved character. It's no different than, like, going... I'm trying to think the American version of it. I guess a Rocky statue or Mount Rushmore. Like, just a bunch of fake stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's, you know, just like Mount Rushmore.
Just like Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, identical.
Just, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Before we started, Jesse, you said that you had a story you were really excited to tell.
Sure, sure, sure.
About
sure,
yourself.
Sure. Hi, everyone. Jesse Cox here. Man of the people. I'm sure you notice sometimes when I'm on this show, I seem a little tired. It's because I make poor choices. And last night might be my poorest, yet some might say best choice. Because at roughly 10:45 p.m., when a normal man should have gone to bed, I was coming down off of a lot of farts. Turns out when you eat a full bag of green beans, not the smartest thing in the world. So I was a tooting machine. So I was like, well, you know, I don't want to go to bed and then just toot all over myself in bed. That's weird. So I was like, you know what? I'll let my stomach settle. So I'll stay up a little bit more. I was looking for something to watch. And again, as I've said numerous times, streaming services starting to suck. I'm not a big fan. So really, I'm down to Amazon, which I have because Amazon Prime, and this, if you're watching on Twitch, right? It's a necessity. And I have HBO, which is free with my system, and then Netflix, which my parents use. And so that's all I'm down to. And I looked over at Netflix and was like, nope, trash. Looked over at HBO, like, nope, trash. Went to Amazon, and for some reason, in big, bold, marquee, Fast and the Furious 10. A movie I have not seen. I had no desire to see. Frankly, I couldn't care less. But as a man who's seen Fast and Furious 1 through 9, I was like,
you have to.
You know what? I'll put it on for a little bit. When I tell you to... If you have friends who have never watched any Fast and the Furious movie, you must start them with number 10. You must start them with number 10. The reason why is very simple. Because you'll sit down with them for the 10th movie, and they'll be like, well, I don't know what this is. And I'm like, don't worry. I'll explain it to you really quick. Imagine a franchise where in the first movie, the whole plot was about stealing combination DVD VCRs from a truck. And over the course of the movies, they ended up fighting a submarine, going to space, throwing a safe at gangsters. I'm trying to think of all the other insane things. Riding a car onto a plane, jumping a car from one building to another building in the middle of the sky, swinging a jet. It's insane. And as you try to describe all that to them, and you watch their eyes glaze over because it's nonsense, and then you say, oh, by the way, there's about 80 characters in this film, and over the course of 9 films, they all become superheroes for some reason, where they can break through walls, they can, like, punch down doors. They're amazing. And then you say, now, this is the 10th movie. And when the film starts, from moment one to the moment it ends, it is a greatest hits of all of the entire franchise, where every single thing you just said to them is brought up at some point, and it proves that it is insane. There's literally a montage where it shows all their insane stuff they've done in the past. And you're like, I told you! I told you that's what that was! It is one of the goofiest things I've ever seen. And the best part is, every character across all the story shows up. There was literally a moment where a character appeared and I cheered audibly. I was like, yeah!
Finally!
I was I was so I that movie flew by for me, and I realized I enjoyed it in a way that I shouldn't enjoy. Like, it was.
You weren't excited at all about watching that. You felt obligated, and yet.
Let me, every line of dialogue that Dominic Toretto says is so hyper predictable. It is insane. Like, there's one part where the actor, I don't remember his name, but he's an amazing actor. Also, he's like incredibly handsome and ultra buff. The dude who plays Jack Reacher.
Yes.
He's like the new head of the secret underground organization that just so happens to like hire drivers to do things. I don't know.
Of course.
But he's the new head.
Who else would they hire? Of course they're hiring drivers.
He and, oh God, it's too early for me. He and Captain Marvel.
Yes, go on.
They are like competing heads for trying to take over this new thing. And so it's like, they show up and they add a whole nother level of complication to this entire plot. But the entire time, every scene that those two are in with Dominic Toretto is like one time that guy, he plays his character Ames. They're in a plane and Dom has a car in the back of the plane. He's like, Dom, you got to save your son, but I can't land the plane on a street. And Dom's like, who said anything about landing? He drives his car out the back of the plane. And the worst part was, is as he said it, I was like, he's going to say, who's the... There's one part where Brie Larson, Captain Marvel, Brie Larson's like, Dom, I don't think I can help. I don't think I can help you. Like, what are you trying to do? You can't beat this bad guy. And he like literally pulls off a cross. And I said in the room, I was like, through Christ, all things are possible. And he goes, you just gotta have faith. And like hands her, I was like, yes, this is amazing. There is a part where, oh, by the way,
yeah.
Jason Momoa is the bad guy. And he shows up giving a 10 out of 10 performance. Everyone else in the movie is, you know, acting, but Jason Momoa is killing it from moment one. There is, like, as the movie, like, when he first shows up, he's wearing a, like, golden suit, and he's the son of a bad guy from a previous movie. So you know this entire movie is a best of.
Okay.
And he looks like I'm a bad guy. But then every time you see him from that point on, he gets more and more insane. He shows up to a race because, you know, you have to have at least one street race in a Fast and Furious movie.
Of course.
He shows up in like a purple silk outfit with a purple car. He's got giant blinged out glasses. His hair is like in this kind of bun looking thing. And he is just like the Joker, flamboyant as shit. Then later, there's a scene where he's painting a dead man's toenails and his hair is up in like mini buns and he's even more flamboyant for some reason. And it's just, he keeps getting more. And as the movie goes on, he gets more and more flamboyant. And it's incredible. It's incredible. And everything about this movie keeps getting more. And it, just when you think you've seen something insane, there's a 20-minute chase scene where they chase a bomb that's shaped like a ball rolling through Rome, and they're like, you gotta stop this bomb. And it's like, how are you gonna stop a bomb that... He's like, it's gonna go to the Vatican. We gotta stop it, family or something. And they try... Meanwhile, Jason Momoa the entire time is like, come on, dumb! You can't stop me, dummy! And I'm like, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. I love this.
I need to watch it.
Holy shit. It's one of the... I've never seen a film like this. It is so committed to the bit of every time... Like, the whole point of the film is that Jason Momoa is like, you took my family, Dom, and I'm going to take your family, the one thing that matters to you. And the entire film, Dominic Toretto's face is... For 2 hours. It does not change. For 2 hours, he's like, you're gonna take Little B from me. I gotta protect my son. By the way, I keep forgetting his son's name is Little B.
Dude, his jowls have gotten so hardcore as he's gotten older.
Oh, man. Oh, by the way, I forgot to say,
yes.
It's part one of two.
Oh.
The movie ends on a cliffhanger, and I jump for joy. I was like, I can't believe they're making another one of these. I am seeing it in the theater. I don't want to see this because that's gonna be trash. And it's not good, admittedly. It's not great.
Oh,
but it is the best 2 hours of pulp nonsense I've ever seen. Every situation where they drive a car.
Yeah.
Stuff explodes. It's part one of three?
What? These are they must be the last ones, right? This has to be
And the post-credit scene was great. I won't spoil any of that for Dodger because you need to watch this and I need a report from you.
Yeah.
Because holy crap. It is incredibly insane. Mm-hmm. Like, it is one of the things that I never thought in my life that I would be sitting here telling you to watch. But from start to finish, it is somehow the most nonsensical, insane thing in the world, yet hyper entertaining.
Mm.
Like, again, every line of dialogue is like I wrote it. Every single line of dialogue, every single thing that happens in this film, every single thing is just like, you know, in life, it's a quarter mile at a time. You're just like, yep.
What does that mean?
It is. And no, the whole thing is like, he said that in the first movie, though. Like, that's everything in this movie is right. Like, oh, that's from that movie. There's one scene where a character says something along the lines of like, hey, man, I've been to space. And you're like, he has been to space. It's insane. It's insane. Yeah.
It sounds amazing. So, wait.
It really is.
I totally forgot what the genesis of this story was. So,
I didn't get to bed till 1 a.m. and I had to wake up at 7. So, I'm roughly like 5.5 hours on sleep.
Okay.
So, if I look tired, it's why I am tired.
It's because
I chose to watch
inside
the crazy. Yeah.
It's Fast and Furious in your heart.
I couldn't get to sleep. I was so jacked up by the end of that movie. That movie made me. I'll give you an example of how this movie, like, this is the flow of the movie.
Okay.
So, Michelle Rodriguez and Charlize Theron are, like, trapped, held down in a facility. Now, Charlize, she plays a hacker. I think her name is, like, Cypher or some shit, which is amazing. And she hacks a console to poison gas the people that are controlling her.
Okay.
Without looking at what she's hacking. She doesn't even see the screen. It's a touch screen. I don't know how she knows what she's touching, but she's like, she's hacking away.
Sure.
And she poison gasses everyone. They're like, and they fall over.
Mm.
And then she and Michelle Rodriguez break out and they're like, all right, we have to get out of here. And they're like, okay, well, this door is going to open, but it's going to take 4 minutes to decontaminate and like open or whatever. So we have 4 minutes. And Michelle Rodriguez is like, that's enough time. And they have a 4-minute balls to the wall fight scene where they beat the shit out of each other for no, like, they just hate each other so much. They're like, that's enough time. And they fight for 4 minutes and throw each other around a room. Glass is exploding everywhere. At one point they fall off a balcony onto glass. I'm like, they'd be dead. They'd have died 6 times in this fight. There's a laser hand that shoots lasers out of its fingers flying around the room. And then they're just like, all right, let's get out of here. It's absolutely crazy. This movie is crazy. And I must stress again, the impetus of this series is a dude trying to stop Dom's family from robbing DVD VHS combo trucks. And the best part about this movie is there's a scene where a guy goes, they had a humble beginning, robbing convoys. And I'm like, they're even acknowledging it in this film. Yeah. Oh my God. There's a moment where Dom says to someone, I don't remember who it was, where he's like, you know, being a cop and being a criminal is only a matter of like how long the road is, because eventually we all end up the same place. And I was like, that's the plot of the first movie. The entire thing was me being like, ooh. It's all callbacks. It is 2 hours of callbacks. And then Jason Momoa stealing every scene.
Mm.
It is insane to me this film exists. I love it. It might be like top 10 films for me. Not because it's good, but because it is the most Jesse shit I've ever seen in my entire life. I'm convinced now more than ever that Vin Diesel and I would be best friends. I'm convinced of this. I'm convinced of this.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm glad. You know what? You took a chance, and in the end, it paid off. Truly.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if it paid off. The day's still young. It's only 8:55 a.m. here, so come back to me in a few hours.
Are you saying that you might go back to sleep, wake up, and be like, actually, I fucking hated that movie.
Sucked. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Okay. I'll check in with you later, yeah. Just to find out.
Yeah, how you're feeling. Yeah, I'll let you know.
I have freed myself. I 50 Shades freed myself. You and I.
What?
You and I have both been trapped by a game. There are different games for both of us, but we've both been trapped.
True facts.
I'm free now. Are you free?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I haven't touched a video game. Actually, that's a lie. I played. We'll talk about it. But I've been playing Dragon's Dogma 2.
Okay.
But no, I'm free of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I did it. And yeah, I'd love to hear what you're free from, though.
I'm free from of Banishers. I finally beat Banishers.
You beat it?
I'm free.
Awesome.
I'm free. It took me, I think, around 70 hours, and I didn't finish everything. I managed to beat the game with 75% map completion because I was like, I have to finish this game. So
yeah, I absolutely feel that. Yeah, I mean, like, so how? Like, give me your what was it like?
It was great. It was great. Somebody reminded me that the reason that I played that game initially was because I got sponsored to, and I was like, what a fucking like. A really good sponsorship on their part, playing the shit out of this game. I know I've talked about it a couple of times on Geekenders now, but I was so pleasantly surprised by that game. I got so emotionally invested in everything. Every character mattered. Every side quest mattered. The writing was so fantastic, and like the relationships felt so real. And I feel like I got to be as spoiler free as possible. Apparently there are quite a few endings to this game.
Okay.
My ending that I got was, I cried a little bit, but I get the feeling that I was let off the hook a little bit, you know? Do you ever play a game where you know that there's multiple endings and you see an ending and you're like, one of those has got to fuck people up, and it was not this one.
Oh, sure. You know? Sure. Yes. Yeah.
Those were my thoughts at the end. I was like, what a good game. I'm so happy with that ending. That was fantastic. I have to look up the other endings to this game, though.
Mm-hmm.
I have to know how emotionally devastating this game can potentially be for people. Because it's got all the right things, all the right variables. The Venn diagram is perfect for it, you know? So yeah, I was really, really happy with that game. I don't know if I will commit the time to do it again, which is why I'm totally fine with just going on YouTube and watching all of the other endings.
Sure.
But that game is so good. For just like a brand new IP, God, fantastic. I was so, so happy with it.
Yeah, the game itself fits in that weird space that is both scary, but also very emotional.
Mm.
And it does a really good job of making the characters seem lifelike and alive and real people with complicated lives. And I'm totally here for that.
Yeah.
It is a very well designed game, and I can't say enough good things about it.
A really interesting setting as well.
Oh yeah, yeah. It is. It's one of those things where I wonder if it's a word of mouth game, like as more people play it, because I saw no advertising for that game at all.
No,
and so I wonder maybe if it's gonna be, I don't know, like one of those games where by the end of the year, it'll be something people talk about, or not. Like, there's a lot of great games, especially story-based games that are like European flavored that people just ignore that are amazing, that are so good. And it happens every year. There's a bunch of them that come out and it's like, guys, you really should play this one. And they just don't.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that is.
Well, there was a conversation about a game came out recently that like a single indie dev was working on. And she was saying that it was really disheartening because the day that her game released, one of these bigger companies like EA or something released like 5 games in a row. And not all of them were like full games. Some of them were like DLC and things, I think. And how like sometimes games get overshadowed because these bigger companies are able to just pump games out, you know?
Sure.
And they're the ones that are able to do more promotion and get more eyes on it and pay for more, you know, sponsorships and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's rough. It's rough for indie devs. But I mean, this was Don't Nod. Right. So like I feel like they probably should have promoted a lot more, but also the promotion they did do was spoilery as hell. Like,
yes,
I think it's weird thing.
I think we talked about that when we first played it, because I was like, I'm so glad that I didn't watch the trailer before I played this game.
The trailer spoils the entire first like 3 hours of the game.
Yeah,
I couldn't believe it. I was like, wait, what? Yeah, it's wild.
And I understand feeling like you need, especially with a new IP, needing to like think about how to hook people to be like, oh, this game's going to be, you know, it's not just a game about Ghostbusters in, you know, the early settlement period of America by the Europeans, right? Like, they feel like they needed to spoil some stuff to hook people potentially.
I don't know. I wasn't a big fan of like how they marketed the trailer, but they didn't do barely any marketing at all. So I guess a lot of people will go in blind, much like you did. Which is like, cool. It's worth it. Recommend. It's worth that investment. I love that you said you did 75% and that at a certain point you just pushed to the end.
Yeah.
Because, that's me with Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. There was a point where
I was normally I'm going to do everything that I can, boy. So it makes me feel a bit better that you also were in a position where you were like, I need to just finish this fucking thing.
I don't know how, if I mentioned this before, but there is, you know, you have to fight different summons and stuff like you do in all Final Fantasies. And Odin mechanically is a fight. Odin's fight is if you get hit too much, or you don't hit him enough, he gets bored with the fight and kills everyone.
We talked about that last time. Yeah, I remember.
So, terrible fight. Do not recommend. Absolutely hate it. But I finally beat him and was like, all right, thank God. And as you go through the story, you get by our favorite Final Fantasy XIV character, Greg, keeps showing up. And Greg, a.k.a. Gilgamesh, keeps doing these, like, in every zone has, like, a little Gilgamesh story arc. And when you complete them all, you hit that, like, you're at the end of the game. This is the last major side content thing to do. And the Gilgamesh storyline is you go to his little Gilgamesh island, and when you're there, he's like, oh, you have my armlets and all my gear, and look how you sullied them. We must purify them, and then I'll fight you. I'm like, okay. So you go to 3 shrines. And what they've done is the most audacious bastardization of my time. Like, this, it's a pure time waster in the most spiteful way, because what they do is instead of fighting one summon at a time, each of the 3 shrines is 3 2 summons at a time. And when you get, like, the first one I think was like Phoenix and Kujata, and I was like, all right, this is fine, I can do this. But the second one is Odin and Alexander at the same time. Here's the thing. Alexander spends the entire time lighting the ground on, like, in bright lights, exploding shit, making stuff spin on the ground, blasting across the screen, and it's a pain in the ass because he doesn't take a lot of damage unless you're, like, cheating with Yuffie, which I definitely did when I fought Alexander the first time. But Odin is also in the fight. So Odin is like, running around, slashing, attacking you. So you have to dodge Odin because, again, if you get hit too many times, he one-shots you.
Right.
But at the same time, you have to dodge Alexander because if you get hit too many times by Alexander, you aren't fighting Odin. He gets bored. He one-shots you. But if you go full attack on Odin, you're not paying attention to Alexander, who is hitting you with everything on the ground. Meanwhile, your team, they're just in the background exploding every 5 minutes. And so it's just like they're getting hit. So Odin's more pissed off. And so you're fighting what may be the hardest fight I've ever seen in a video game. It's nonsense. And then what makes it hard is Odin's just like one shot. And so I was like, oh, well, what if I get a ring or an earring that will resurrect me? It's not a one shot and you're dead. He does 9999 damage. And so he just kills you outright damage wise. And then it's like, try again, bitch. And I'm like, okay, sure. And I got to the point where I just didn't. It broke me. It broke me. I did not care anymore. I was over it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you know what? I'm done. I don't even care about Gilgamesh. I don't even want to do this anymore. So I was like, all right, well, I have one side quest left. It was back at the Golden Saucer. I walk into the Golden Saucer expecting an easy quest. And it's this guy in a business suit. And he's like, oh, hey, it's me. Business suit guy from Shinra. I've been in the game for a while. Anyway, I'm the best video game player ever. I've beaten all the games of the Gold Saucer. Can you beat my score? And I looked at that man and was like, bitch, and just walked out. I will never do that. People are like, Jesse, you're going to come back and do that later? Maybe in no. Like 4 years when the next game comes out. I literally do not care. I was just like, I'm just going to get to the end. I'm going to beat it. I hit a wall where I was like, I don't care about any of you. I'm so upset that you're making me do this.
Yeah.
All I want to do is see the end of the game. And so I went into the end of the game. And hey, this is all I'm going to say. I spent the last couple of weeks saying, I don't know what people who have never played Final Fantasy VII, the original, think about this story. The last 4 hours, if you've never played Final Fantasy VII, I have to imagine you were like, what did I just see? It is like, imagine the most quantum mechanics, theory of relativity, like astro, like out of your mind insanity crammed into 4 hours of video games with the basis that you understand where it's coming from. And if you don't, I don't know what, like, this is all I'm going to say. This isn't a spoiler for any content
okay. In
the actual story, but it is a like metaphysical spoiler. So bear with me. When the games, if you played Final Fantasy VII Remake, they introduced a character called Stamp. Stamp is a little tiny cute dog. It is the mascot for Shinra. Apparently there's like Shinra cartoons and Shinra whatever of this dog, Stamp. In the beginning of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, we see Stamp again, but it's a different dog. And then every time we see Stamp after that moment, it is a different dog. That is the baseline for where we're at with this. And if you're wondering, okay, what does that mean? Just put two and two together in your head. Why would it be a different dog every time? And just let that shit sink in, and then you know where we're starting from. This is like when you go to a class in college you're not prepared for, and they start talking, and you're like, I don't know what they're saying.
Did I miss the 100 class? Oh, should I be here?
That's where we're at. There is multiple, it isn't Stamp died, y'all. There's from scene to scene. There could be one scene where in the background there's a Stamp, and then there's like a weird cut, but it seems like it's the same place, but then a character's eating a bag of food, and it's a different Stamp, y'all. This is one of those games where you have to go back multiple times and rewatch the story.
Mm.
But that's all I'm going to say. It's absolutely insane. Oh, and if you're wondering, is it all explained in the end? No. So.
I'm excited to play it.
I'm not getting it. Yeah, it is bonkers.
Now that I'm free.
Times a million.
I can be not free again.
Yeah, and I just want to get to the end. And I'm glad I did. I'm glad I beat it. But I realized that I just don't have it in me for challenges anymore. Like, I was just like, I don't want to fight. Like, I don't want to beat Odin again. I did it once. Him. And I just don't care. It doesn't. Would I like to have fought Gilgamesh and seen that? sure, I'm just going to watch some dude do it on YouTube and be like, yeah, I got what I want out of that. Like, I just don't care.
Hollow Knight is my favorite game ever. And their last DLC was boss rush stuff. It was like, here's more and more and more bosses. Here's harder and harder and harder versions of fights that you've done. And I don't feel bad saying Hollow Knight's my favorite game ever. And also, I will never finish those fights ever. I will never finish those fights. I'm just not going to, you know?
Yeah. It's like when people do Elden Ring, but they're like, no support. No one's going to help me. I'm not going to summon anything. I'm like, I literally had Octopimp carry me and I felt great about the whole thing. That man showed up and just casted like Pebble or whatever that ability is. And I was like, this guy's awesome. I'm going to get a dragon ability and make a dragon head. I did nothing of value. I was like, dragon. It went like, and vomited fire everywhere. And I was like, I think I helped. And he was like, you're doing good, buddy. He's blasting the boss.
You're doing great, champ.
I'm so, like, unless I'm hyper invested in a way that makes me be like, well, I have to beat this boss in order to see something amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I just won't do it. And even then, World of Warcraft is a great example. I played that for 15 years, and eventually they made it so if you want to see like the really cool version of a boss fight, you had to do it on Mythic, right? And the Mythic versions of boss fights were so cool. The last boss always had a secret phase that was like really lore heavy and really cool stuff. And there was one where it was you fought Grom. No, was it Grom? I don't remember who it was. It was one of them. Doesn't matter. One of the orcs. And you fought him, and chat's going to get me on this because I can't remember. Who's the guy with the shoulder pads? And he's a bad guy. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. Not Gul'dan. The other one. You know, the other one. The other one. Gul'dave. The other orc. Gul'dave.
Yep.
Garrosh. That's who it is. The Garrosh fight. When you fight him, there's a secret phase where it's like in the future where the old gods have taken over, and it's all the heroes impaled on spikes in the background. It's cool as shit. Like, that's such a like neat moment, but you wouldn't see it unless you did Mythic, right? Here's the thing, I just go watch someone on YouTube do it. I'm like, I'm not gonna invest the time to become a hardcore Mythic raider to then see once. I think I've just weaned myself off of caring too much about doing the hard stuff. I'm like, I just don't care anymore.
Have you done Ultimates in 14?
I've done Uwu. Boy, that sounds weird. I did Ultima Weapon is what I did.
Okay.
Or Ultima Weapon Ultimate, whatever it is. And I did that one. And the reason why, and the perfect example, Final Fantasy 14 is great. I will go online, look up what weapons look like, and determine if it is of value to me with my time to get one of those weapons.
Yeah, dude.
And because I have a cosplay in that game of a certain very good boy who just wants to fist bump and save the world. His weapon is very similar to one that is in Uwu. So I went there and I raided with a bunch of the Final Fantasy 14 community for weeks. And we finally beat it. It was great. And then everyone's like, are you doing another one? I was like, having looked at all the other weapons, I do not care. I was like, I will not attempt it. I will not try. Mm-hmm. Weeks worth of time was already too much commitment for me. And I'm like, I'm all right. I got what I wanted. And that was it.
Yeah.
And I will not do any others unless a new one comes along. And I'm like, yo, that weapon looks so cool. Then I'll put in the time.
Every time Sam does an ultimate, he's like, are you going to do this eventually? He'll be talking about it. And he'll stop himself to be like, are you going to do this eventually? And I'm always like, no. No, I enjoy, you know, the like limited amount of grind necessary to do Savage after everybody else has already figured Savage out, you know, and I'm mostly the only noob involved. Ultimate, I don't think I would enjoy. So no, I have no desire. I love that game. It's literally desire.
It's like memorizing stuff. It's like, you got to go here. It's straight up just any fight where you have to memorize mechanics. And then at the same time, once you have it all memorized, then you have to deal enough damage quickly, right? Right. So it's like, memorize the pattern, and then once you have that memorized, because what's going to end up happening is you're going to get to a point where the boss does their full pattern, and then they just instantly kill you, right? It's like, you ran out of time, you're dead. So then you're like, okay, now I have to learn the pattern, plus deal enough damage. So, and then once you do that, you've won. The problem is it just takes time, right? It's just like you have to keep throwing yourself at it, and it's fine, but it's just like, I gotta really want something from this now. I value free time so much more. I fully blame streaming, by the way, where I'm like, if my job is gaming, I don't want to touch a game in my free time. I want to like do anything but touch a game in my free time. So
yeah, the reason that I brought it up was because I have been curious before if there is stuff in the ultimates that's worth seeing. Like, is it worth it for me to look up what the ultimate is like? Is there
There's
extra
only
stuff the way that there is in WoW?
There's only one, and that's the Dragon Song Ultimate, which is literally a retelling of Heavensward, but with time jumpy, crazy mechanics, and you can change the course of history.
Oh.
That's all I'll say.
Okay.
Which is really cool. And that's it's neat. It's interesting. But that's the only one. Everything else is just like, do you remember all these fights? Here's every fight together. So like, you know how when you fight Ultima, the Ultima weapon, for example, during the fight, all of the icons and shit that are inside of it come out when the more you fight it.
Right.
What the fight is you fight, I don't remember what the order is, but it's like you fight Garuda, Ifrit, and Titan in a row, back to back to back. Then they all go inside Ultimate Weapon, and then you fight the Ultimate Weapon.
Right.
And so literally you're doing four fights. I think in total it's like an 18, 20-minute fight. And if you get to the end, that's 20 minutes of your life that is just like, well, I learned lessons, I guess. Let's go do it again. You just have to keep doing it. And it's just, unless you really want it, which is what I did. I really wanted it. So I played as a warrior, probably not the smartest thing to do, to be one of the tanks on like a big tough thing. But I was like, I'm going to learn it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to earn this. Mm. And I did. And I feel really good about it, but now I'm not going to do it anymore. Yeah.
Honestly, a lot of those fights, I don't mind doing over and over again because the music slaps so hard. The music is so good in that game.
Yeah, I just last night, yesterday afternoon, helped another group of very delightful YouTube players get through it.
Oh, nice! Shout out to that's fun.
Yeah, yeah, and they just beat Endwalker. I was very pleased. So shout out to the Grinding Gears guys. They're great. Even like, it's fun to watch the community because when they were going through the end, like Joe Cat showed up. And Marco Meatball showed up. Like, a bunch of people who just, like, are in the verse were like, yeah! And they all, I love that stuff. It's because we're all emotional vampires and we're there to watch them cry. And I'm going to let you know, it got them, baby. They were the entire time, like, I'm not going to cry. Like, guys, we don't cry. It doesn't happen. And then there was a moment when a certain song kicked in. And it got them. Oh, I was so happy. I was like, nice. No one makes it to the end without tears. I was so happy. It was great. It was great. I live as an emotional vampire. Tears are so good.
There's just something really satisfying about getting really emotionally invested in something and then getting to be the sideline observer of someone else getting emotionally invested into something is like, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Yep. On the flip side,
yes.
In my sort of wind down from Final Fantasy VII and playing that nonstop for 3 weeks, I decided to play Dragon's Dogma 2.
Okay, yeah.
Zero commitment on my part. I know it's going to be a long game, so I'm just like playing it every once in a while in my free time. It is a game that is either the best video game ever made or the jankest pile of trash I've ever seen.
Oh, no.
From moment to moment, my opinion changes.
Oh, no.
I tweeted this, but it's like such a good story. So in the game, you are your main character. I named her Red. She literally just looks like Aloy. But then my pawn, I named him Crumb, and he just looks like male Aloy, and I made them brother and sister. I think it's very cute. And Crumb and Red go around, do their adventures, and hire other random pawns to help them. And they're all stupid as shit. Every single one of them. One moment, we were helping some NPCs, and I saw a cave, and the NPC was like, "What's over there?" We ran to go look, and slimes fell from the sky and instantly killed the NPCs, murdered them. In this game, if an NPC gets murdered, the quest, you're not restarting the quest, you're not doing anything, you have to go to the nearest morgue and resurrect them. But in order to resurrect them, you need wake stones. And wake stones can either be found in the world, or you have to do quests for pawns, or buy them at the Capcom store. So I was like, so can I not turn in this quest ever? What the? At this point in the game, I had yet to find a place to resurrect them. I had not found a morgue. This was so early in the game. I was like, what the hell? But what do I do? Meanwhile, in the exact same, 5 minutes before, I had just fought a giant Cyclops, and my team is crawling up the side of the Cyclops as I'm Aloying it with a bow in the background, and he's swinging to strike. It was the coolest shit I've seen ever. And I was like, from moment to moment, this game is either the coolest thing or the dumbest thing. There was a point where my team is fighting a bunch of goblins on a cliff. And this goblin in armor is like, yeah, runs at me. Crumb, my good boy, comes out of nowhere, pushes him off a cliff. I'm like, that was cool as shit. The goblin's HP par, I see it hit the ground. There's still HP left. My entire team turns to the cliff, jumps off the cliff to fight the goblin. All of them die. All three die. And I was like, what the fuck? All of them are dead. Every last, I couldn't believe, I was like, what?
I knew what you were going to say, and it was still funny.
They all die. Oh my God. Just, again, moment to moment, this game is insane. There are things, I saw that Capcom or someone posted something along the lines of like, we really did a lot of improvements over the first game where your pawns talk too much. That is a lie. A lie. I'm on a quest right now that I haven't turned in because I found a map online that lists where all the treasures are in the world, just like the Elden Ring map.
Okay.
So now I'm just going around finding shit that I need, which, again, not great for streaming at all because I'm like, okay, so where is this? I could use that sword. Okay, that's what I'm doing. I'm just doing that. But I'm on a quest that I have to find weapons for a dude who's like, if you can find me weapons, I can start training new recruits. I'm like, okay. And so it's like either go buy weapons or find them out in the wild and deliver to this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, sure. I'll go find him in the wild because I'm not going to spend any money on this dude. Every single one of my pawns are like, oh, don't know anything about this, my lord. Maybe we should find a different pawn who has more information. And they don't stop saying it. They just keep like, I don't know, master. This quest is beyond me. Perhaps we should find a different pawn who knows information. And I'm just like, I'm aware that none of you understand this.
I know.
Don't care. Shut up. And they're like, master, I think if we find another pawn, they could probably help us with this quest. And I'm like, stop talking to me. Shut up. That's pretty much the game. It is a game.
Amazing.
As far as I can tell, the story is worse than the first game, but the game itself is the exploration, the randomly stumbling on stuff, the turning a corner, and like a giant monster face punches you is just amazing. It's so good, yet so bad, and I have no words for this game. It might be, the best game ever made or the worst. It is crazy. This game.
It sounds like there are so many frequent opportunities for important characters to accidentally die that they should make it easier to get what you need to bring people back.
There's barely a fast, there's like not a fast travel system. Like, just give you an example. There's like, it is designed not to be easy. It is designed to be like, hello. If you want to get from town to town, you have to get on the back of a like trolley.
I don't want to play like EverQuest again, dude. I don't want to do that shit again.
Yeah. Later on, you can get stuff that'll make it easier, but the it's clearly designed to get you spending the most time exploring and wondering. Because again, the story is so basic. If you played the first one, you basically have the idea of what's happening in this one, except there's like a few twists. But like for the most part, the story to me, completely unimportant. Just not important at all. Not worth me even caring about. And you know me, I'm a big story person. So
yeah,
I'm like,
I was
right,
gonna
whatever.
Say that is a bizarre thing to hear you say that. You're like, fuck yeah, the story. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, it's not great. But then the moments that I get to play it, the game is essentially exploration with comedy. It is just everything that can go wrong will and can go wrong. But when you beat something, they put in the feature where all of you and your pawns will like high five each other or fist bump and be like, you're doing good. And it's very cute. And there's, but again, most of the game is just like walking around and then you see a shadow and you're like, what the shit was that? And then a giant griffin lands and assaults your team and you're like, what do we do? And then like, and it's also about learning. So a great example is those slimes I talked to you about that murder people.
Yeah.
Turns out arrows don't affect slime at all. So I had to go back and get a team of fire mages to come in and burn the slimes. And I was like, yeah, now I feel cool. And you know what was, you know what was at the end of that cave where the slimes were?
Huh.
Low-level pants. Shitty low-level pants. Pants that I couldn't even use. Useless, worthless pants.
Nice.
I had two NPCs die and had to recruit a whole new team to get pants, Dodger. Pants. Yeah. I could have bought pants anywhere. It was pants.
Yeah.
That's the kind of game I'm talking about.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I honestly, it hasn't really been on my radar until everybody was like, this game is going to be revolutionary, dude. And I'm feeling like, I think I'm good waiting. Either not really bothering to play it or waiting until people inevitably start making a bunch of mods for it.
Sure. It's, yeah, I would say wait, but if you want a game that you can do for an hour at a time, that isn't going to, you know, take up too much of your life, you can jump in, play a little bit, jump out, and in like 3 weeks, you won't have to be like, where was I with the story? This is pretty much that game.
Right.
You're not going to have to worry about the plot. It's just like dragons.
Bless you. Bless you.
Yeah. I'm allergic to going through caves and only getting pants, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
See? We got that that pants problem. That pants problem? That's right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The so Dragon's problem. Dogma 2. It's a game. Kids, it's probably, if someone's streaming it, I wonder what the reaction is, because I imagine it's probably very funny to people to watch. But I think it has the exact same flow as like Ark or something, where you'll see a clip and it's absolutely hilarious and everyone's like, oh my god, I gotta play. But then you realize it's just like, I'm hitting a tree, I'm
right
trying to get a dinosaur. It's not as interesting as you want it to be. Or when we always talk about EVE Online, and it's like, yo, did you see this thing? It's so cool. But it's really just like 6 weeks of nothing happening.
Exactly. There's a lot of build up to the really cool EVE Online stuff happening.
Yeah, that's pretty much the vibe.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your sacrifice. Playing the I look forward to hearing where the chips lay next time we discuss it.
It may lay nowhere. I don't know. It's been like 3 days since I've played. So it may in fact lay nowhere.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with trying to find new games. There's this game, Who's Lila?
Mm.
Very excited. The fact that you said, and haven't immediately been like, oh, I played that, is exciting to me. Imagine a game where you are interviewing slash solving a mystery,
but
you only use emotive features of a face. We have to smile or frown or do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Looks so cool. And here's the thing. If you look on, this is why I want to play it. If you look on Steam, it falls into the same category as Pony Island. And if you know me, I love Pony Island. And then if you read in the description of Who's Lila, they're quoting David Lynch. So already I know this game's going to be absolutely insane. Mm. And so I am very hype. I don't know a damn thing about it, but it seems like a Jesse game. And I'm like, ooh, okay, let's go. So it is on the list.
Nice. A game that I really want to play that I haven't played yet is called That's Not My Neighbor. Have you heard of that game?
Yo, someone just recommended Scary Game Squad play this.
Yeah, it's like it's sort of a Papers, Please kind of a setup. And you work for a company that specializes in finding doppelgangers. And so you're trying to figure out who's a real person and who's masquerading as a person. And I guess it gets real creepy. Yeah.
Okay, this could be a fun Scary Game Squad. This looks neat. Yeah, I went to the itch.io page.
Yes.
And as you scroll down, by the way, it's nachogames.itch.io/that's not my neighbor. But as you scroll down, the images of the characters get more and more disturbing, and I'm here for it.
Yeah.
That looks really cool. All right, adding it to the list of cool things I should definitely be playing. How long does that take to beat?
I do not know. It's not like, that's the thing about Itch, right? Is it's not like on Steam where you can just be like, how long does it look like everybody else played this game? You know?
Sure. Average session about half an hour. That's some prime. You know what? That's what I'm here for. I learned a valuable lesson this past few weeks.
Yeah.
Turns out that years ago, I had the great discovery of learning that I shouldn't always listen to what people ask of me. And I just forgot that for a little while. And we had a lot of people be like, guys, we need Scary Game Squad to play Signalis. I was like, cool, we love Signalis. We'll play that. Sure, that sounds great. All it was, or at least all I saw, was people complaining about how we weren't doing it right, or how we missed something important, or how we like didn't do the story bit. And I was like,
yeah,
let us play. And because it took us like 12 hours to beat the game, and because it's YouTube, every episode had progressively less and less viewers. So by the end, I was like, why are we even doing this? What is the point of doing this?
Yeah.
We literally, they're not having fun because they hate what we're doing. We're sitting here trying our hardest to like, I want to say by the end, we got a lot. We loved the game. We got so much out of it. We thought we did great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, that was so good. We got an ending that people said was like really hard to get. We were like, that's awesome. People were just like, they did it wrong. They missed a scene. They didn't do this. There was a point in the game where we thought, like, we didn't know what to expect, so we just, like, were trying to figure stuff out, and because we were trying to figure stuff out, we weren't actively exploring. We thought, right. We were like, oh, are we done with the game? And people were like, they didn't go here, they didn't do this, oh, God, these guys suck at this. I'm like,
that's so annoying.
You're making it really hard to care. And here's the thing.
That's the thing, right, is that, like, the more that you get feedback like that, the less you're able to just enjoy the game and see what it is that people adore about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's many people in chat right now being like, yo, F those people. Here's the thing. Most of the normal human beings in the world who just like are going through life don't care enough. But it's the people who get truly upset, just like reviews at restaurants, who must let you know how much you've upset them. And so they'll go out of their way to actively let you know how angry they are at you. It isn't like, oh, they screwed that up. Like, all right, I won't watch anymore. No, it's like, you are bad at this. Like that. And it's like, but we did this for you. We actively did this for you. And you don't like it. So now what are we, like, we still have two videos to upload, y'all. Like, what do you, what do you want? And it's rough. It's rough. And I understand that many people are like, but Jesse, I get it. But compound that with YouTube's, as you release more of one thing, the numbers decrease. Mm-hmm. You're now getting less return on the time. We're dumping 2 hour long videos of this thing.
Right.
And less people are watching. So I'm sitting here editing 2 hours of stuff down to make like the audio sound good, to balance stuff, to make sure there's no mistakes, all these different things. And still, it's like, not worth it. So it's rough. It's rough. And I relearned the lesson of maybe I'm just going to do short games for a little bit, like little tiny baby boys.
Short games are because, great. Sam and I have talked about Undertale quite a few times because he has never played it and would like to play it, but feels like at this point it would be really difficult to play it because everybody has such strong opinions about how you play that game. And I played that game before a lot of people had played it. So I was able to have a relatively chill experience with it and just, you know, enjoy the game and not have a bunch of people being like, oh, you need to do this or whatever. That sort of culture around the game didn't exist yet. So I got to have like a really good experience with Undertale and I loved playing it. But Sam is pretty sure that there's no way that he could play that game on stream, right? And have just like a good, pure experience with it.
Hey, did you say 1 p.m. PST?
Oh my gosh.
You said 1 p.m. PST, I swear to God.
1 p.m.?
Fridays on one at 1 p.m. Pacific time.
No that's way. What I'm, did I fuck
that's
up?
What you said to me. That's what you said.
Oh my God, I did. Dude, it was me! It was me! I was the guy!
I was like, I'm not late. I'm not even close to late.
It was me.
What now? Are you guys online right now? I don't hear Jesse at all.
Yeah.
So
yeah. We're
we've been broadcasting. We're almost done with this show. I'm letting you know,
brother. I swear.
No, God, come on. No, it's my fault. It's my fault. Well, I'm so.
I just looked at my phone. And I just panicked the fuck.
I'm
like crazy.
So sorry, bud. It's because 1 p.m. PST is typically when I do things with Americans, and I just autopilot typed that. I'm so sorry.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe next time. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's a bummer.
Dude, it's all right.
I'm
dude.
So sorry.
No worries.
That's my bad.
That's all good. So funny.
All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay.
Bye, dude.
Bye.
Dude. Oh, my God. I feel so bad.
Not me. I feel great. That is a perfect goof.
What? Oh, my
when
God.
When you do things wrong, it makes me feel better about the things I do wrong. So, honestly, I'm fine. Honestly, I'm okay.
No.
Doing all right. Not abducted, just fine.
He wasn't abducted.
In fact, was asleep.
Not a ghost. No. Was just given incorrect information by someone. No names. No names.
Things get messed up all the time. So, hey, just by the way, for the record, I want to stress out because there's a lot of people in chat who are like, Jesse, we appreciate you. I'm not upset. I'm not like sad or emotionally devastated that you don't like the way that we play games. All I'm saying is that it's frustrating when people are like, I get passion, I get it, but when they're so passionate that it ruins stuff for other people because they don't appreciate it the same way. And I look, I'm the same way when it comes to like Final Fantasy 14. Like if you're talking over the ending of an expansion, I am not going to watch your content. I'm not going to talk shit about it. I'm just going to be like, this person's hot trash. And I'll just leave. I get it. It's a passion thing and you're very excited about it. And you want people to experience something that you experienced. I get it. But not everyone's going to nail it the same way. This is just like when myself and the boys played through Soma, a game that a lot of people loved. And we were like, nah, it's all right. It's not great. It's not great. People love that game. And they were so mad at us because we didn't like it.
Right.
I don't take that personally at all. I never will. But it's hard to do a thing that's high. Like this was requested, bugged. And we were like, all right, we'll do it. And then it's just like, you guys suck at this. I don't want to watch. I'm like, okay, cool. I guess we'll keep playing it then. Yeah. And it's rough, but it doesn't mean that I'm like angry or upset, or I think that you're all stupid for like not enjoying it. It's just, it is what it is, but it's just like, there are frustrations in this job. And Dodger's absolutely right that sometimes a fandom becomes too much and they set rules and they put up gates and walls and fences about how things should be appreciated. And it's like, that's not what art is. Video games are art, and everyone's going to appreciate it differently, and you just have to accept it. And if you don't like it, then there's a million other people who are playing it. But like, you know, it's going to be a weird time for the people who are doing something for you, and then you tell them you hate it so much. It's like, cool. It'd be like if an artist painted your family portrait because you requested it, but they only do landscapes. So you're like, you can do it. And then they painted it, and you were like, well, this sucks. It's like, well, you asked for it. So that's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
You're still upset about the Mathis thing, huh?
Dude, I'm so thrown by that. I immediately messaged him like, I am so sorry. No. Yeah. We'll get him on.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew it.
What do you mean you knew it?
I knew it.
You were like, that you're
the
boy.
Problem. You always were. You always were the problem. I knew it.
I am the problem.
I knew it. I've been saying it for years. I've been telling everyone
it's
I know.
Me.
Dodgers
Hi.
The problem.
I am yeah. the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, what are you going to do?
Nothing. Mock you continuously for the end of all time.
Okay. Yeah. I can deal with that. That's fine.
Nothing will be different than it ever was.
Same as usual then, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, bud.
Is that it for us?
I think so.
Well, hey, hi, everyone. Let me just say for the record, if you like this and you enjoyed this, but you wish there was a guest, next week, we got a special one. She may be one of our favorites.
Wiggles eyebrow.
Mm-hmm. The last time she was on, candles were brought out, and Tim Tams were eaten. So we'll tune in for that.
Mm-hmm.
Should be a ton of fun. And that's all I'll say. Yeah, get people hyped.
It should be fun. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. Yeah. I haven't talked with Redacted in a while.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. It'll be a good show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It will be.
The two you can talk about, like, parenting shit, and I'll just eat a sub or something.
Sure. Yeah, that sounds good. Make sure you bring a sub, though.
I'll bring a full 12-inch meatball sub.
Yes.
Like, at 8 a.m., just, so you guys got kids or something, huh? How's that work?
A submarine sandwich sounds so good right now.
Big time agree. I'm although so it's 9:44 a.m. so I got nothing going on.
It's almost 5 p.m. for me. And
that's cool.
And not a submarine sandwich in sight, dude.
Yeah, that's a real shame.
I gotta get it.
Why am I eating it? Why am I? It's really good. Like, what am? what is happening?
Yeah.
Why am I one handing this sub? It's weird.
Know.
Cool.
But if somebody could ship me a full brick and mortar Jersey Mike's, that's what sounds good to me right now.
I don't want the sandwich, just the shop.
Yeah, because then they can make me continuous sandwiches.
Oh, Jersey Mike's, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what?
What?
It was fun talking with you today. Usually we don't get a lot of time to just sit here and ramble on to each other.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I had a very nice time.
Me too.
And
plus,
hey,
I got to
continue. Finish.
No, I wasn't gonna say anything nice. No, nope. Too late. I wasn't gonna. You took it away from me.
No.
I was gonna talk about like hanging out with my friend and like just shooting the shit and how nice that was.
It was
and you stole it from me. There's not, we can't go back. The moment's gone. There's
Yep. And you, if you also had a good time today with us, but maybe you missed some of it, you can find this and all other Geekenders on youtube.com/JesseCox. That's where it lives.
It's true. And so, remember, give it a like. Share it with people. Get the word out. Because you can't send people to new episodes without knowing what it is first. So you got to show them the old ones. Let them know. Mm-hmm. Come join us. Come join us on Fridays at 8 a.m. so you can be here live. And then you can tell more people about it.
Jesse.
There's only two of us. Who are you raising your hand for?
Jesse.
What?
I just realized that this is such a rare opportunity here. If you were going to guess, what Mathis's homework would be for everybody, what would it be?
All right. I'm going to channel Mathis.
Okay.
Avi Loeb just discovered a bunch of particles in the bottom of the ocean, and those particles may or may not be from a meteor or UFO that came to Earth, and those particles are otherworldly. So I'd recommend going online to Avi Loeb's website and information dumping into your brain any and all information about that subject. But if you can't have the time to do that, try dream hopping. That's right. You too can control your dream and hop between dreams with others. In fact, there was a man known to be a guy who would show up in other people's dreams. A little short guy with a bald head. And a lot of people saw him. But here's the thing. Was he an alien? Maybe. Maybe he was. Because sometimes aliens come as people. In fact, Indrid Cold was potentially an alien who was in league with the Mothman. And the Mothman, what was his deal? Why did he prophesize or warn people about terrible tragedies but do nothing to stop them? Is it because he is, in fact, a future traveler who cannot mess with the past? And if he does so, will change the future? But why wouldn't he want to change the future? Who's controlling us? Is it the Nordics or is it the Greys? Maybe deep beneath the earth, the lizard people that control everything, maybe they're the ones, because they've been in league with the government, yet at the same time, governments around the world are attempting and trying to get as much alien technology as possible for the coming alien wars. Yet, aliens are here. Perhaps they've already won the war, and we are just the fallout. Think about it. That is what 250 some episodes of a podcast with that man will
this
do.
This is why I knew if I asked you, you'd actually have an answer.
Oh, and Bigfoot, Loch Ness, and serial killers for some reason.
A green stone or something.
Oh, and the green stone. No, that's Alex. That's Alex.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Never mind.
That's a different guy. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah.
And where is Atlantis? Behind the ice walls? Hmm?
Guys, go follow Mathis Games. Go listen to Chilluminati. We'll have Mathis on properly eventually. Big apologies from me for giving him the wrong time.
I can't believe that man showed up. He said, I thought you said 1 p.m. And you were like, no. And I was like, Mathis, don't do that. Don't do that. And you were like, oh, my God, I did say 1 p.m. I want to let you know, I've never felt so... I just was eating up the embarrassment, just munching on your embarrassment. It was great,
dude. I barf.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you or anything that you want to shout out about yourself?
I would love to shout out this very show and the fact that I get to spend time hanging out with all y'all bright and early on a Friday. Even though I complain like a little tiny baby boy, I get so much done on Fridays because I'm up so early. So shout out to this show. You're keeping me on track.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Jesse, who accommodates me and the time that I need him to wake up so that we can spend some time together and do this show. There's
Ladies,
no one I would
he's
rather
accommodating.
Do it with.
really stupid.
Ladies.
He's accommodating.
Hey guys, have a fantastic weekend. We will see you next Friday with a redacted guest. Take care of yourselves and bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Geek Enders podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Dodger, what up? Let's go.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow and see what the Geek Enders are all about.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you're all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time. On gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up.
Yo, it's the weekend.
Yeah, it's time to geek out.
Let it begin.
Go on, scream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt.